following God is filled with possibilities. As a matter of fact, endless possibilities. Today's message from Dr. Don Wilton. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And in these next few moments, we'll be diving into Romans chapter 8 with Dr. Don about this message, Endless Possibilities. As we study the Word, know that we're connecting already online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Friends are talking about this wonderful faith in the midst of crisis that we were vitally connected to during this pandemic. That message is available and so many more. Again, it's online at tewonline.org. While you're there, sign up for the daily encouraging word email from Dr. Don. You'll be glad you did. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
There comes a time when you've got to settle this. You give your life to Christ. You see, we live in an interestingly discombobulated world. If you were to take this beautiful country in which we live, with all our different people, essentially with all the politics and the things that go on in our life, the thing that America is struggling with today, perhaps more than at any other time, is the issue of our identity. We are people from every walk of life. We come from every strain of life and every culture of life. But as Americans, we have a singular identity. We sing it, "I'm proud to be an American." That's an identity. When that flag flies, you can count on me. You can count on you. And right now, we are battling with our identity. It's not about the school of public opinion, because everybody does have an opinion. But we are one nation under God. There's an identity. And in that identity, the possibilities are endless. The power of a nation united under that identity is endless. The best way to destroy America is to infiltrate the ranks and divide our identity as Americans. Now, that's who we are as believers. We are a people, varied and gifted. We're men and women, we're boys and we're girls. We're old and we're young. We're rich and we're poor. We're doctors and we're teachers and we're engineers. We're preachers and pastors and athletes and coaches. But our identity falls under one. We are of Christ. We are not of the public opinion. I want to read to you a wonderful passage. Just go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Over these last 4 weeks, we've been asking a very, very important question, predicated on what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before others, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we are identifying our oneness. We're asking this question, beginning with me. I have to ask that. I have to be confronted myself. Don Wilton, I have to do business with God, me, before I can look at myself as part of us. Because it takes all of me and you to become us. I've got to ask myself these questions. What is my light? Who am I? What is my purpose? What are my values? What is my strategy? How do I define my win under Christ? Because I belong to Jesus. I'm not talking about as pastor of the most beloved congregation in America. I'm not even talking about husband of Karen or father of Rob and Greg and Shelley or grandfather of eight wonderful grandchildren. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying me. How are you doing? Who am I? What is my light? I don't need to sit in a conference room and spend time pointing fingers and asking everybody else before I examine my own heart first. I don't come to church to look at somebody else before I look at myself first, because I have a relationship with Jesus. He loves me, and it begins with me. And then the second level of is that is, how about you? So now I'm going individual, but I'm transferring all of that from me to you. And then I'm narrowing that down to one place, one church like this, one congregation. The thousands who worship with us in this place, that one place, when we come together, all of me, all of you, all of us, what do they see when they see the light that shines from us? And during these days, we've tried to unpack this. We've tried to determine why we exist. What is our mission statement? What are our core values? What do we stand on? What do I stand on? What do you stand on? And above all, we as a congregation, what do we stand on? What do we value? And if we value these things, we've got to have a strategy, a mission. Worship, prepare, serve, engage, in order that we can measure our growth and determine our win. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to have a target to aim at. I want our children to grow up strong. I want our people to be whole and complete and purpose-driven. It matters to me. It matters to you. It matters to us. It is important. Because it's important how we speak, how we behave, how we engage, how we conduct ourselves. It's important the kind of citizens we become as believers in this nation that we love so well. And above all, it is critically important that we live our lives in line with the one who has loved us from before the foundation of the world. In Romans chapter 9, and I'm not reading the passage, but in verse 31, and then I want to just read to you verse 37 through 39, but in verse 39, there's a question. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you feel that? Can I just apply that in a secular way? Can I explain to you what happened with World War II? Can I explain to you again the impact of this nation around the world? Can I explain to you why America has had such influence? Because this nation knows what it means to stand as one person. This is somewhat cheeky, but I love that little saying they have in Texas. It's a little state down the other road. Yeah, don't mess with Texas. I'd love to start hashtag don't mess with America, and that we understand what that means, because we stand as one. We're disintegrating because we don't, notwithstanding all the ideologies and opinions and politics. How much more so the Church of the Living God? Who do we serve? And when the apostle points, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? In verse 37, though in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Today, I just share my heart from God's Word on the endless possibilities you and I and we have in Christ. That is why, as one church, we believe that in Christ, more is possible than you can ever imagine.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. We'll be back to these endless possibilities together in just a moment, because that joy of knowing that God is ready to take you places beyond your even greatest imagination is because God has a plan for your life, a perfect plan for your life, utilizing your gifts, your abilities, your situations, even your difficulties. God uses our pain and our growth to help others. Boy, we'd love to pray you through understanding how God wants to use you in a fresh new way to encourage others. Yes, we are here as the Encouraging Word to encourage you, but we also have wonderful tools and resources that help you be an encourager to others. You'll find those on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or you can also call about those resources. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now back to today's message, Endless Possibilities with Dr. Don Wilton.
Endless possibilities. Why? First of all, because sin has lessened our possibilities. Why do we believe that more is possible in Christ? Well, first of all, because we know that sin has lessened, robbed us, robbed you, is robbing you. You are being totally limited in your potential by the sin in your life, and all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are dramatically lessened in our possibilities because of sin. Why? Because we were created in God's image. Sin took that away from us. And because we were created in God's image, we can no longer look like God. Look at me. Now, I know I look extremely jolly good this morning, but that's because I put a little effort into it. Some of you evidently didn't. No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. Take that back. It takes some jolly hard work, you know. I can never figure it out, but my wife always takes a lot longer getting ready than I do, and I tease her all the time. But I'll tell you what, is it worth it or what? Listen, we are created in the image of God, which means we can no longer look like God. I've got gray hair. I'm getting wrinkled. Yesterday morning, I was just walking down the road minding my own business, and I said, what is this? And some of you are laughing. You wait, boy, you big laugher at me. It just like, it happens. Where did this thing come from here? And you wait until you bite into your favorite apple, smile, and everybody laughs at you. And you say, what's the problem? You say, your whole tooth's gone missing. They just drop flat right out of your mouth without even making an announcement. I'm telling you, and all of a sudden you got to go to the bathroom at the worst possible time. I mean, what is that? Excuse me, I need to go quickly. I mean, your plumbing just gives up. I'm going to change the subject now. All right. Any questions about no longer looking like God? You can no longer love like God. Have you ever figured out why people hate each other? Do you know why you get so mad and ticked off over nothing? We can no longer love like God. It's just amazing. You know, I watched the BBC World News last night, and man, they're going ballistic in the streets of Paris. Oh, did I tell you about Iran? It's a dictatorship. They're rioting there. Did I mention Hong Kong, by the way? Have I told you about the streets of our cities in America? It's like everywhere. People just mad. I'm telling you, you can't even play football today without some guy grabbing one of those helmets and smacking somebody else over the head with it right there in front of everybody. because we're just mad. That's human nature. We're all capable of that. I'm capable of it. We can no longer love like God. We can no longer live with God because of sin. Our possibilities to live with God have been taken. You can't do it. You can grow up in a church that says to you, God doesn't mind, but He does. He set the standard. Your relationship with God is not there. So why do we believe that in Christ more is possible? Because sin has dramatically lessened our possibilities, and because Christ has forevered our possibilities. Here's what happens when you give your heart to Jesus. This is why in Christ more is possible than you can ever imagine, because He's forevered our possibilities. It means we can now look like God once again. That's exactly the process. We are being changed. And when Jesus comes and we're taken into His presence, we're going to be radically transformed. You can now love like God. I can't explain it to you. You and I know that. Every believer knows that. It's just like you see people from a heart of love. You just can't quite. It's just the love of Christ. Paul put it like this. He said, the love of God constrains me. You can now live with God. The Bible says God loved the world so much that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. So if sin has lessened our possibilities and removed them from us, Christ has forevered our possibilities. He restores everything. He brings you back to where you need to be. That's why we believe in this church that we can encourage complete and courageous living in Christ. We believe this because we know it's true. I know it's true. You know it's true. We know it's true. This is the light that shines. Come here. We're talking about being complete and courageous in Christ. We know that more is possible in Christ. We encourage complete and courageous living in Christ. If you were to say to me today, Pastor, what would you as pastor of the church want for my son and daughter that are being born? I am praying with you. I want to get alongside of you. We want to get alongside of you so that your son, daughter can become complete and courageous in Christ. Yes, yes. I'm praying that your daughter will grow up to become a wonderful athlete. I'm praying that your sons and daughters would become incredibly successful business people. I'm praying your sons and daughters would succeed in the political arena and become the next presidents and governors and the mayors of our cities and be different makers. I'm praying that your sons and daughters would become great TV personalities and stars and changes in life. But I am praying my business in this church. You want me to know what I'm about, that I will do anything for. I will give everything for. I'm going to keep pouring my life into it for your children and my children. I want them to become complete as people and totally courageous in Christ. Now that is worth doing whatever it takes. Why? Well, because Christ has made us complete. He frees us. He frees us through His forgiveness. I am a forgiven man perpetually. I was forgiven totally and completely when I gave my life to Christ. So I want you to name the sins that are in your life. Name it. God has no exception to forgiveness. No exception. Doesn't say I'm going to forgive everything excepting. And at salvation, He forgives you for everything. And then once you give your life to Christ, He just keeps on forgiving you for everything. When He forgives you at salvation, He's forgiving you totally unto your inheritance, affirming and confirming the fact that you're going to go to heaven to be with Him. He removes that barrier. That's called redemption. And as you live out your Christian life, like we all do in this human flesh, and we lose it, and we lose our cool, and we don't do things and we sin against God, He forgives us. He doesn't forgive us after we give our lives to Christ in order for us to go to heaven. He forgives us in order that we can be blameless, that we can live this life in fellowship with Him, that we can be strengthened in our faith. Christ has made us complete. He frees us through forgiveness. He empowers us through His Spirit. None of this is because of ourselves. I don't look like or love like or live with. I don't operate in this life within myself because my life is Christ's. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit who came into my heart. He's the one who convicts me concerning righteous living, the holiness of my life. And not only that, He makes us complete because He accompanies us through His person. Just think about that. You know, everywhere I go, I got Jesus with me. Driving in my motor car, going to school, flying in an airplane, going to other parts of the world, at the dinner table when I'm fellowshipping, barbecuing outside, enjoying that ball game, I have Jesus with me all the time. He accompanies us. We encourage complete and courageous living in Christ because Christ has made us complete, but also because Christ has made us courageous. This is a tough world, folks. Pray for our young people, not just our young people. Believers are running scared everywhere. We're scared to say anything because somebody might pick it up and put it on social media and accuse us of something. We're scared to share the truth of God's word because somebody might come and have something to say because they might come against us. We're scared on that campus to live for Christ. We're afraid to pray in public lest anyone should come and say we're not allowed to do that. America. We're afraid to operate on Christian principles. We're afraid to go and play a game of golf as a Christian person. We're afraid to be in the clubhouse and just be a Christian person. If we in any way show anybody that maybe we, you know, this Jesus, somebody's not going to like us and somebody's going to point a finger and they're going to throw the book at us and somebody's going to come after us and somebody won't like us and we're going to become unpopular. We need courage. Jesus makes us courageous. He makes us courageous to worship without hindrance. Makes us courageous to prepare without distraction. He makes us courageous to serve one another without selection. Just opens our hearts, sets us free. I'm glad that we're here together like this. I think Jesus knew what He was doing when He instituted the gathering of God's people. When He gathered us in the church like this, all across America and all around the world, they're gatherings of believers like this. We come in every shape, every church, behind every bush, different denomination, different. And those of us who love Jesus, the evangelical church that loves Jesus. And then He scatters us, puts us on the ball field, the schoolroom, takes us on that mission field. He just takes us and puts us all over the place. And what's the difference? We're the gathered church and then we're the scattered church. And who are we? We're just people who are tapping into the endless possibilities we have in Christ because Jesus in us has made more possible every kind of possibility than we could ever imagine. And in so doing, He's made us complete. It gives us courage. What? What shall we say then? What shall we say then? If God before us, who can be against us? Because we're complete and courageous in Christ.
A powerful message from Dr. Wilton today. And the question might be, are you complete and courageous in Christ? There is a courage that comes in knowing you're in the center of God's will, even if you're in difficult situations. In my own personal life, losing my parents, the pain that I've been through, because I was complete in Christ first, I had courage to face each of those situations. Are you complete in Christ? It starts with the very first step of saying yes to Him as Lord and Savior. Before we get away, would you hold for just a moment and hear these final closing thoughts from Dr. Don Wilton?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You. And I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Perhaps in this time together on this broadcast of the Encouraging Word, whether during Don's preaching or Dr. Don's prayer moments ago, you realize that God is using this to let you know that He loves you and He has a plan for your life, and you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're almost there but have some questions. Won't you give us a call? Let us speak with you. Let us answer those questions, discover them together in God's Word. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather connect with us keyboard to keyboard, we're online as well at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, there's a number of resources available on that very website. Here's Liz with all the details.
Do you know someone that could use some encouragement? We're here to help. Visit our online web store at tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You will find sermon messages, books, and outreach cards. Let us take care of the shipping and help you send a word of hope today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Hope you'll dive into that when you have a chance. And while you're on the website, as Liz mentioned, one of the great joys is the opportunity of staying connected to God's Word on a daily basis. And many of you are listening to this broadcast and podcast every single day, but it's another thing to have it pop in your email. And you can sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email, and you'll hear about things like today. Dr. Don was talking from Ecclesiastes 3:1 about there's a time for every purpose in heaven. Isn't it remarkable how sometimes we realize that the conversation we need to have with a loved one or a business person, we are blessed in the right timing, and yet we do not communicate well in the wrong timing. Asking God to guide us and direct us with every conversation we have today to be in God's timing, that's a blessing. Just a thought of some of the things that are taking place every single day online at tewonline.org.
I would like to take this time to testify what the Daily Encouraging Word devotional has meant to my spiritual life. Out of all the devotionals I ever encountered, this one has to be the most inspirational to speak the revelation knowledge in my life. It has blessed and allowed me to seek God's purpose for my life. It seems to always speak to my situation at just the right time.